left, on your left and on your right. And Jesus, verse 22, says, you do not even know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink? What's he talking about? His crucifixion. That's what's coming. You want these positions of power and prestige in my kingdom. The question is, are you willing to experience the same kind of sacrifice necessary for that authority? You don't even know what you're asking. You just want the blessing. You don't understand the sacrifice required for the blessing. Right? Amazing in their arrogance and their pride, they say, oh no, we can do that. Yeah, we can drink the same cup. We can. And Jesus said, well, you will indeed drink from my cup. In other words, there is a day coming for your sacrifice. It will happen. But to sit at my left and at my right, that's not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. He's the one who will decide about those places and positions of authority, right? The Father will. When they heard this, now listen to this, verse 24. When the 10 heard this, they were happy about it? Excited? Thankful that John and James were going to get those two seats. Is that what happened? No, they are very upset. Because if there's only two seats and they have them, what does that mean for the other 10 of us? You have to have your Shema outside. The other two get to dine with the king. No, they don't like that at all. They are very indignant, thinking, how selfish of you two that you would do this and seek this. What about the rest of us? So now, it's a great opportunity for Jesus to teach something about selfishness. And a great opportunity for us to learn something about selfishness. Look at verse 25. Jesus called them together and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. The it being authority. They lord authority over people. Their high officials exercise authority over them. That's how it works. You start with the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. And you then come down the next level, you've got the Roman commanders. Then you've got the Roman soldiers. You've got all of these levels of authority. That's how the Gentiles do it. In this country, you have a president. We have a president. We have a cabinet. We have a Congress. We have judges. We have all these levels of authority, and everyone under the level above them must submit to that authority. That's how it works in the world, right? In the culture. You have authority, and you have everyone under authority somewhere, somehow. What about in Jesus' kingdom? Notice what he says. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great. Let me just stop there. How many of us want to be great in Jesus' kingdom? It's okay to put your hand up. It's okay. It doesn't show a lack of humility. It's okay. This is the greatest kingdom. If you want to be great in the greatest kingdom, it's okay. It's okay. Let's be honest. We all do anyway. Whether we put our hand up or not, it doesn't matter. We all want that. If you want to be great in that kingdom, does it depend on your position of authority? No. What does it depend on? What does greatness depend on in this kingdom? Jesus said, if you want to become great, whoever wants to become great must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. The kingdoms of the world are built on a pyramid of authority. Greatness depends on how high you can rise to that level. Right? The person in the U.S. who works in the bakery is not at the same level of greatness as the President of the United States. In the kingdoms of the world, greatness all depends on how high you rise in the level of authority. The higher, the greater. This is the one kingdom where it's exactly the opposite. Think about that. In this kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, greatness depends not on how many serve you, but how many you serve. That's where greatness comes from. Now, I am not saying we don't have structure in the church. We do. We have our pastors, we have our elders, we have our bishops. All of those are interchangeable for the same office of leadership. They have spiritual authority on some level, but it's under completely the authority of Christ. The Bible says, obey your elders so that their ministry is a joy and not a burden. So we do have structure in the church. Jesus is not saying that's not the case. What he's saying is your attitude has got to be the attitude of a servant. And your actions have to be the actions of a servant, no matter your position. Doesn't matter. Amen? Now, we have a big problem today in the church, I believe. We assess greatness in the church a different way, don't we? We have in America certain pastors and evangelists competing for who can own the biggest plane, who has the biggest and the most airplanes. And the greatest of those have the most airplanes. That's how we assess greatness often. Who lives in the biggest mansion? Who drives the fanciest cars and has the most? That's how we assess greatness. Is that how Jesus now establishes this? No. So you see, in many cases, the church has become just like the world. We make the greatest, the highest, the wealthiest. Jesus says, in my kingdom, it is exactly the opposite. Your greatness depends on how many you serve, not how many serve you. Do we believe that? Do we like that? Does everyone in the church believe that? I don't think so. I think a lot of people in the church don't believe this at all. Because if everyone believed it, we would have everybody serving one another in ways we've never seen. No, I think many in the church are in it for what people can do for them. Many leaders in the church today are all about what can you do for me? How much can you give to enrich my life? Many in the church operate that way today. That is not servant leadership. That is what the Gentiles do. That's how the world does it. In the church, it's the opposite. It's not what can you do for me? It's what can I do to serve you? That's Jesus' kingdom. So I want to give you something practical, just the last few minutes to think about. When it comes to being a servant, I want you to think this way, just for a minute. Every person we meet, every person we come into contact with, we, believe it or not, we make decisions about that person. And it's one of these three. What can they do for me? What must I do for them? Or if it's neither one, let me push them aside and get on with my business. Let me rephrase the second one a little bit more clearly. What can you do for me? What problem do you pose for me that you're going to ask of me? Or if it's neither one, let me move around you and get on with the things I'm doing. Think about that. Every time we meet someone or engage with someone, we are often answering that question one of those three ways, whether we realize it or not. What can you do for me? What kind of problem are you going to be for me that I have to get around? Or if it's neither one of those, then you don't matter to me and let me move on to someone who does. Is that true or is that false? I heard a few truths. I want you to just think about it. How we encounter people, we often make those decisions immediately. Let me give you another way to do this. Imagine now when you encounter someone, your first question is not, what can you do for me? Or what problem are you for me? The first question is, what need does this person have that I might be able to meet? Think about it. Now, you can't meet every need. You can't. I can't. You may not be able to meet the need, but you're thinking, what need do they have? Your thinking is now outside of yourself and focused on them, instead of inside of yourself to use them. What need might they have that I can meet? What encouragement can I give them or affirmation can I give them that would be a blessing to them? And what prayer might I be able to pray with them given their need? Imagine if you start looking at people and encountering people with those questions in mind. Do you think it might change how you relate to them? It will change completely how you relate to people, I can assure you. It will completely change how you see people. Because we often see them. Can I use them? Are they going to be a problem for me? Or if it's not either one of them, I'm just going to ignore them and go on. That's how we see people. Let's be honest. Let's admit it. In our flesh, that's often how we see people. Jesus says, you need to begin seeing people as how you can serve them. Not what they can do for you, not what kind of problem they are for you. The question is, what need do they have that you might be able to meet? That's the first thing that comes to your mind in your connection with people. Do you think if we began teaching this and people began doing this in our churches, do you think it might change something? I think the change could be dramatic. But it has got to start with us. We live in a world, and I'm talking about the church world, where people are still constantly trying to rise one above another, above another. That is not the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of the world brought into the church. That's what that is. We're constantly seeing that happen. How can I elevate myself? How can I rise above? How can I have a higher position? What kind of title can I give myself? Can I say that again? What kind of title can I give myself to elevate me? I think we just made a connection. That is not the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of the world brought into the church. If you want a title, the greatest title you can have is servant. It's not even pastor, it's not even bishop. It's certainly not prophet or apostle. The greatest title you can have is servant. How many people introduce themselves, I'm servant so and so? I'm servant Kumalo. I'm servant Piri. How many people introduce themselves that way? Can you imagine in our churches, can you even think how different it would be if we dispensed with all these other titles that we use and just use this one? Can you imagine how different that would be? We need to stop bringing the system of the world into the church. We need to get it out of the church and reflect instead the kingdom of God. The greatest in the kingdom is the servant of the most. That's what makes you great in God's kingdom. It's not your position, it's not your title. That's the world. In the kingdom, it's how many people you serve. It's beginning to relate to people, meet people, and see people as, what can I do to serve you? What need do you have that I might be able to meet? That's what the church needs to become. That's how we need to begin relating to each other in the church. Amen? But it will not, I can assure you, change in your churches if it doesn't change with you. Once again, I'm sorry, but all the responsibility falls on you if change is going to happen. You are the leaders. You are the ones. You are the ones where it all has to begin. Would we like different churches? I believe we must have different churches. We talked about this from the very beginning. Do our churches today reflect the teaching and ministry of Jesus? Well, we're beginning to see more and more. The answer to that is no. What we're doing in our churches and the way we're doing it in our churches does not reflect the life and the teaching of Jesus. And that needs to change. Amen? Amen. It needs to change. But especially in this area, it needs to change. People need to stop elevating themselves over one another. Your identity is not in your title. Your identity is in the fact that you are a child of God. Leave it at that. That's enough. And next, it's about being a servant. I'm not saying we don't call pastor, we don't call elder, we don't call bishop. I'm not saying we don't do that. The Bible does that. But the pastor, the elder, the bishop have to be the ones that are the most serving. Or the people won't follow that model. That's the attitude we must have. We must be willing to do that. Amen?
Amen.
There was the hammer again. We need the hammer, though. Because if we don't have the hammer, nothing gets beat into shape. Right? All right. You have been amazing this morning. Thank you. It is once again my blessing to open God's word. So thank you.